Choose not to live in a world of filters. Realize your mistakes. Set the foundation for your success. Get some wins. Knucklehead Podcast.
I got my cough out of the way.
That's awesome. All right, listen. Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of Knucklehead Podcast. We got with us today. So if you haven't heard of LifeFlip Media, first of all, shame on you. Go hate yourself. Second of all, Eric Mitchell, you can find him multiple places online. Do yourself a favor, Google it. He informed me a little bit earlier of his Twitter following, and after me wanting to crawl out of the hole that I just came from, after hearing that, I'm excited that we actually have him on the podcast with us today. Eric, you are joining us with the great country of California. Is that correct?
No, I'm actually joining you from the great country of Oregon, which I don't know if it's any better or worse. I feel like the whole West Coast is all one big, because basically it is. It feels like it. We have the same laws and weed's legal all over, from the top of the state, from Washington all the way down. You could just, everybody can get high. It's cool.
It's funny. I was talking to somebody in Pennsylvania a little bit earlier today, and I'm in Texas. And I go, oh, yeah, folks like you in the Midwest. He's like, hold on, time out. We're not in the Midwest. We're Pennsylvania. And I was like, hey, listen, I'm a knuckle dragon Marine from the great country of Texas. So anything north of Oklahoma and east of the Mississippi is the Midwest to us. We're just, we're just ignorant. And he goes, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds funny. Huh? And he, went on to an interesting sales call. But forgive the mishap. This is Knucklehead Podcast.
That's okay. I originally moved from California. I'll give you that. You were right. A number of years in California before I moved to Florida.
Where in Oregon are you? Are you in Portland or in what the great Chael Sonnen says, the mean streets of West Lynn?
No, I am not in the mean streets of West Lynn. I am in a small city. It's not so small. They'll probably laugh at me. Small city with a famous shoe company in it called Beaverton, Oregon, home of a company you might have heard of, Nike. Yeah. So literally, yeah, we do a lot of work with Nike. It's great to be in their backyard. And literally, you can't go very far without seeing the swoosh everywhere.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, they have a cool slogan. I think that's one of the coolest things about their business. I love that they just say, hey, just get off of it and just go do it. Action cures fear. Listen, why we started Knucklehead Podcast and why I love having folks like you on is because there's folks that set the pace. There's folks that literally will keep you at an even keel. And then there's folks that drag you down. And you've done an incredible job just kind of paying attention to some of the things that you've done. And you've done a really good job of separating yourself from other folks in your business, but yet not feeling like there's this huge chasm that you have to cross in order to get to where you want to go. And so I'd love for you to educate folks about maybe some mistakes that you've made, some things that you've done to help establish a foundation for success. Maybe where you came from. You don't have to get into everything, but I mean, just help people know where you came from and maybe some things that you learned about not being beta and making it happen.
For sure. As you could tell, I said in a sentence, so that would make me part of the wonderful bloodline of the United States Marine Corps. I was an 0311 from 94 to 98. Yep, I'm an old school or salty ass Marine, as the Marines out there go. So I went in guaranteed infantry. So when I got out, I had no idea what to do besides being in law enforcement. I know, shocking. 311 goes into law enforcement.
Never happens. Never. Fire department or, police officer.
You want to go get in uniform again. You like shooting. Yeah, we're good at that. And taking orders from people who are angry all the time. We're really good at that. Got out of that, went to the Sacramento Sheriff's Academy, got my post certificate, spent some time working at the county jail. Yay. It's a whole eye-opening world. Decided that really wasn't for me after a couple of years. I guess you get burned out being in uniform. Decided to go get a different job. Took a temporary job for a company. I'll say it on here. Probably all know it. It's called WebEx. It used to be a startup. Cisco bought it. I was with it before I was employee, like 50-something. Started with them. It was cool. It was right down the street. I grew up in Folsom, California. So it's a prison town. Johnny Cash sang about it. Started working there and started off dialing for dollars. Like literally had to make 150 phone calls a day and book 20 appointments for the sales team. I thought it was cool because they gave me lunch and dinner for free. And they paid me stupid money to go to this job that I only had to go to Monday through Friday. And we got off at like 4:30. That was such a cool thing. And we went to like Dave and Buster's and stuff. And they put us on buses and like they wanted me to sit in a session, but I had like $100 in free tokens. So I was like a kid in a candy store. I did that for 7 years. We got acquired. I went and created my own company with a buddy of mine from high school. We thought we were going to create a new fantasy football app. Instead, the technology got acquired. So we made some money on that. Sold to a company that is now owned by Verizon. So we're kind of happy about it. Then ended up going to another startup. Got acquired by the great company Adobe. And then decided to go get into business with myself. And that's where the failure started, is when I decided to go be a big boy and try to... I come from startup world. I was employee number 9, and I've been acquired for over $1 billion. That means something. It doesn't mean actually diddly. Nobody cares.
I got to stop.
Nor does being a Marine. Just so you know, people are like, oh, did you kill anybody? That's like the number one Marine Corps question. I think people automatically think we kill babies as we graduate boot camp. I'm pretty for sure.
We talk about it all the time. We scream it at folks, like as we're going through boot camp. I got to stop you, though.
We also yell at airplanes, too. So.
We do, and we make funny noises. Most people have no idea what we're saying whenever we're completing sentences. But I got to stop you. One, because I love that you're able to parlay one thing after another, and we're able to move. Was that on purpose? Did you purposely go from a tech startup where you worked your tail off for 7 years and then kind of graduate, so to speak, into a different one? Or did it just so happen to be close proximity to where you were? That was kind of what folks were doing there. Anybody who had their head screwed on straight and could work hard was able to make that happen.
No, you know, going from the long one to start with, that was going from being a they call them business development reps now, BDRs,
right,
to sales, which I love. I love sales. I love selling. I mean, come on now. I mean, boiler room, you know, ABC, always be closing. Come on. I mean, this is just, I thrived on this stuff and then got into marketing, and it was an easy jump. I wanted to go do something on my own, so I called my buddy up. We were actually drinking at a bar. I know, shocking, Marines drinking. We were drinking, and I said, hey, our apps were slow. Our phones were slow for fantasy football. It drives me nuts. And we were like, we should create an algorithm. And I said, shit, I wish I was smart enough to do that. And my buddy, he's got a degree from UC Davis. He did not serve. He's just a genius. And he was like, I can do that. He's like, you sell it and market it, I'll do the backside. And we just decided to do that. So boom, we did that. And it was just a spur of the moment, wrote it on a napkin, went and started talking to people. And we were literally flying to New York on our bootstrap, going to the NFL headquarters because they were trying to launch an app, and I'm selling it like a salesperson. Like, here, this is what we're going to do. Have you ever been in a situation where you're sitting at a bar, you see Tony Romo throw a touchdown pass? I don't like pick Romo because you're in Texas. You see Romo throw that to Dez. you see it, and there's no point change, right? He's on your team. You don't see it. It's not reflected. Maybe it's your defense. You don't know. And people love that story. And, you know, we thought we were going to build this to be this great empire. And we only owned it for a matter of years before somebody grabbed the technology. And we were making money off of it because people believed in it. We were calling stats to the official people who do it and working deals and bringing that up. Yep. And getting to EchoSign was pure stroke of just, I was contacted after we had gone through the whole acquisition phase. Excuse me. And then... just got a phone call. Hey, do you want to come join our company? From the CEO. And I walked in and I became employee number 9. And my boss was the first ever salesperson at LinkedIn. And I was there the day he became a multimillionaire because of his stock that he had from this company that he got like hundreds of thousands of shares. And I was sitting across from him when they had their public IPO, which is still to this day one of the best IPOs ever, was LinkedIn. And I'm sitting there like dumbfounded, right? Because I've just had this success. And I was just I felt like I was bumping my head, but I just had this determination not to sit down. And everybody's like, oh, after you get acquired, you should sit on your butt. And I was like, that's boring.
Yeah.
Sitting around waiting for word is not fun. I mean, we all know that, especially
hurry up ever serving liquor. And wait. Hurry up and wait does not sit well.
So everything kind of followed a pathway as we went through to getting to each point of my journey until I went out on my own was just never stopping. I mean, it helps. I have a family.
Right.
So you got to provide food on the table. I mean, the point I'm not saying is, you know, doing this, I worked 2 jobs while I was doing it. This was one of 2 jobs. I actually lived in Stockton, California and drove to the Bay Area. It's a 2-hour drive one way.
Yep. Yeah.
And I went and I was working at the Longshore Union Local 54, ILWU, in the great city of Stockton, the most inland port in the state of California and on the West Coast. And I was loading ships. I was welding. I was, you know, sitting here, and I was loving every minute of it. It was fun. I was an IT casual. It was a cool job. Because why? Because it was literally, like, it was money in my pocket, so I would work. I would get a shift. I would work from about 7 p.m. until 2:30 a.m., get off, go home, rack out, get up, go to work. Rinse and repeat 5, 6, 7 days a week, depending on if we had ships in port, I was working.
And you had a family at this time. You were married, kids, everything? Mm-hmm. That's incredible, man. That's incredible. So
you have to provide for your family. I mean, you can't fail. I mean, and trust me. And why I'm saying this, and there's people, oh, luck. Trust me, what I'm not telling you is how freaking close I was to sleeping under an overpass. I've been on WIC. My family's been on food stamps. We've been on all this crap because we went through a very tough time in our country, and we got slapped, and nobody – the slapping didn't care who you were, what you ranked, and what you did. You got slapped, and you had to come up. So when we hit that low – and what I always kiddingly tell people, I hit the bottom, thought I was good, got slapped again and hit to the bottom again. And just for good measure, just so I didn't forget, I had to hit it one more time, and it was the one that hurt. And that's where I drive to rising from the ashes and go to that job at the port. And it sucked, and I didn't get a lot of sleep, but I didn't want my family to suffer. So that's why I worked those two jobs, because I never wanted to reach that bottom point again, because you don't want to go there because it sucks.
There's so many sales guys, there's so many business owners that they talk about this period you've heard it said in a bunch of different ways, depending upon how you believe, the seasons. You've heard it described as dry spells, just priming the pump. I mean, there's so many different analogies that folks can talk about. How did you not connect with the failure component with your worth? How did you separate or delineate between your ability to actually produce, meaning your work netted out a positive result, or your work still netted out these struggles that you were going through? How did you delineate between those?
I believe in that motto that I was taught in boot camp, adapt and overcome. So I never really let it get to me, because depression sucks. So I couldn't sit there. And to be honest, I always tell this to people, because they're like, oh, you feel bad. I didn't go serve overseas. I didn't get to go to combat, right? And trust me, it's a part of my body that sucks. You know? It's that infantry grunt in you that you got to run around with a BFA. And yeah, I'm a shellback. I crossed the equator 3 times. Woohoo! You know, but I didn't get to go over there. So the whole time you guys are over there doing your ass whooping, and I want to be part of it, but I'm working. I got the family. That's what actually kept driving me. I wish I could be there, but I can't bitch, because I know somebody's got it a whole lot worse than me. They're not with their family. It wasn't a pleasant time, and I knew it, because I could watch the news. I could see what was going on, right? So a lot of me fed off of my background being a Marine and knowing what our boys were going through over there. You know, I was with 2-3 and 3-3, and those guys saw a lot of crap, right? And I just, you know, you read it in the news, and it hits you closer to home than anybody else. I mean, and people would look at me at work, like, what's wrong with him? I'm like, man, because I'd see 2-3, 3-3, 2-5, you know, those dudes, the people who were coming back, I know those units, and, you know, that hit, especially the Corps. We're very small. We're not a million strong like our friends in the Army.
Right.
We're us, right? So it hurt, but it drove me. It's that point. And I always tell my kids this. They're like, how did you make it, Dad? My son is 11, and he asked me that. And I tell him, I always remember those guys. They got it worse than me.
Yeah.
You know, I feel sorry for myself. I get to go to bed tonight in America. And no one's dropping mortar rounds on my head. I don't have to worry about IEDs. The worst thing I got to worry about is like a windmill that we're lifting on a crane. I can get the way out of there. I mean, what am I bitching about? I'm getting paid $25 an hour. Those guys get paid pennies to get shot at.
Yeah, so I heard this said in the tech community. First of all, that's an incredible work ethic. So, I mean, that's a tip of the cap to you as somebody who's been able to keep the momentum, the inertia, and the focus and the drive going. But done is better than perfect, right? And so done is better than perfect is a phrase that I heard said a long time ago. And the old, you know, Marine, soon as I got out of the military, mindset, and even just being a small business owner, done is better than perfect, man. Okay, cool. Then I can, that if I'm meant to have to go run through that wall, then I'm going to. But yet there was probably more often than not that there was like a door just two steps to my left, and I just stayed focused on the wall and ran through it as opposed to going through the door. So I got to ask you, and I can give you an example of that. Rather than taking investors' money to go build out a technology for a wellness app or for a wellness business, we already had paying clients. But rather than go and show ROI to some investors and take some money to go grow and invest in tech, I did it. And my family like literally almost went hungry because of it, right? And granted, we don't have that business anymore. All the lessons learned, that was one thing that I can say as a knucklehead, I kind of wish that maybe I would have given up some control, put my ego to the side, taken some other folks' money and gone and explored that option to potentially go have another profit center. Instead, I'm out of my, you know, potentially putting my family in harm's way just because of my ego, you know? So I want to hear maybe one thing, cause I know we're going to wrap here relatively soon, but what's one thing that you failed at that you could share a lesson with those folks that are coming up still?
I like this question. I totally agree with you on that. The funny, the doors on the left and right of you, you're like, nah, and you don't really think it through. You're like, I see this is where my objective and I'm going to go, you know, take the hill. Yeah. And it always will bite your butt. I could say when I decided to leave and launch my own business, I decided to launch as a consultant, and I did that the hard way. Right? I didn't really have a business plan. Didn't sit down, put it all together. I was like, I've had this stroke of luck. I've been acquired 3 times. Let's go. I'm gonna do just fine because here I am. I've got this, and a little bit of ego got in the way, right? And you know, I'm sitting here pitching this. And I get one customer, and you know, here I am a consultant. I'm like, I got this, going to do it. And it turned out that was the only customer I had for the year. So that kind of sucks, right? You're launching a bit, you're launching, you think you're just gonna be a consultant, and you follow one person down the way, and it's your only customer because nobody else wants to work with you. Because you see they have a lot of money, but their reputation when you go online, like the first 3 pages of Google are how horrible they are, and you're just trying to play it off because you're like, hey, at least my family's getting fed. Not always the greatest approach because no one's going to touch you because you do business with. So a lot of it was greed. Yes, is good in a part way that money is great. It feeds your family, but it's not always good because you're going to go, you're going to see dollar signs and it's going to blur your vision. You're not going to look to the left and the right. And that was really once I focused on not being, you know, the blinders on and going straight ahead, made a huge difference for the company. Because we were able to do that and go tell a story that actually made sense and have clients that actually had a story that I could do. Because I always tell people, if you're going to believe in a company, you got to put it in your mouth, right? That means you know what that means from the sales side of the house. You got to understand the product. You got to use it. You've got to be a fan of it. You can't just go out and just talk about it. And so for us, that's where I really decided this is the market we're going to go into and then launch. And this is our battle plan. But I had to do all the hard work that went with it. I had to stay up nights and do that and not be a wannapreneur, right? You know, I didn't want to have a full-time job and then have this side hustle. I don't believe in that. It's like all in or all out. There is no middle. And that was my calling. And I knew that we were going to have failures. I mean, I had a podcast that failed. It was called Social Hangout. We interviewed everybody, Guy Kawasaki, Jay Baer, Jonah Berger, who's written 2 bestsellers. And Jonah is one of the best people on the planet. What's her name? Jane, what the hell is Jane's name? The hot mom from Wedding Crashers. I forget her name, but I've interviewed her twice. We hung out with the San Francisco Giants. You know, we were working at their ballpark, doing podcasts from their ballpark with the Giants, working with them, going to these cool places. And that failed. Why did that fail? Because, you know, you pick business partners that you think are the right, and everybody's ego got in the way, right? Oh, look, we're going to all this cool stuff. And every time you get punched, and I look at them now and they're all like little wannabe celebrities, and I kind of laugh because I'm like, and they're all successful, don't get me wrong, but it was like 4 egos on 1 podcast. And it was bad because we were all getting sponsorships and people were flying us places. And, you know, we were a hot commodity. We trended once on Twitter for like 16 hours. I mean, it was stupid. When we had Guy Kawasaki on, we literally asked him, what do you think about people who want to be influencers? And he gave one of the best answers I've ever. And I have it recorded. I should release it because it's recorded from YouTube. The channel's been killed, but I kept that like one soundbite of Guy, and it's great because he really bashes on people wanting to be influencers. He's like, what type of person is it? Can I cuss on your show or is it not appropriate?
Do your thing. Yeah, that's fine.
I didn't know. I just want to make sure.
No, you're good.
So Guy, we ask him this question. Guy says, What type of person wants to be an influencer? You got to be some kind of asshole to wake up in the morning and say, I want to be an influencer. Who's sitting around like, well, I want to be an influencer? He goes, how many nanoseconds do you think Steve Jobs spent wanting to be an influencer?
No.
He's like, that's what you have to remember. People who want to be influencers, they're not going to last long. Guy said that, and that stuck with me to this very moment of my life, because we see it out there with everything we do with everybody. Everybody wants to be an influencer, or as I call it, a professional veteran, or, you know, a social selling expert, right? We have a million of people that will be that. Go look it up on LinkedIn and laugh. I think it's like 1.5 million people have that title. It's a problem, and it's like people go do that. So I always remember that from that moment. So, you know, social hangout failed, but it turned into this. I'm not complaining.
Yeah, it's amazing what's on the other side of failure, right? The other side of that temporary set of circumstances. I don't know about you. I had a lot of challenges with coming to terms with anxiety and depression and mental health, and talking with some other folks about it. I played college football, right? Mm-hmm. I joined the Marine Corps. I successfully completed a tour to Iraq. So all of these accolades, for some reason, made it seem as if I was special. And the fact was, you're special. You're an individual. You're unique, just like everybody else is. But what you've accomplished really means largely nothing, especially to those people that you're talking to in front of you. And it can't interfere with your ability to focus and make good quality decisions going forward. Mm-hmm. Good Lord, that perspective of communicating that seems so obvious to somebody else, but it was such a punch in the gut for an egomaniac like myself. And it was just, it rocked my world to think, oh, I guess I really just do need to do the 15 minutes, like that 15 minute of opportunity. I need to, you know, focus for that 15 minutes to get that done. And then I have, you know, 32 more opportunities throughout the day, eight more hours and 32 opportunities throughout the day to get that 15 minutes worth of something done. And it just was, it was just eye-opening to me, just time going through. It was just, it blew me away. So
I always say it's like feasting on invincibility is what I say that I suffered from, right? Is there was a point where I've been acquired three times.
An infantry Marine who's made it?
Yeah. Right? Like, seriously. Here I am working for this company. We get acquired. We have the good life, like the best insurance I've ever had in my life. Like, I could go buy Oakley sunglasses and it's covered by insurance. I was like, seriously, this is stupid. I got weeks off for Christmas. I like, oh, the end of the year's here. Let's fly you to Vegas for 5 days, put you up in a swanky hotel, pay for all that stuff, go to dinner. I went to a dinner that the company paid for, and I've never been to a dinner where we drank $3,000 worth of booze. We had 58 Moscow mules, bragging rights. Never in my life would I do that. But the point here is all this success and everything you do, you get sucked into, especially in the Silicon Valley. And that's what's humbled me today, is because there was a point where I was so stupid. I was CrossFitting, of course, so I think Marines and CrossFit go hand in hand. But I did a Tough Mudder one weekend. The following weekend, I did a CrossFit competition. And the following weekend after that, I ran the San Jose Marathon, the Rock and Roll Marathon. Like, how dumb can you be? Only then do you feel invincible. Then, like, 3 weeks later, you're tearing stuff. And, you know, you're like, oh, it just, everything changes. You put it in perspective. And I look back down. I was like, wow, look at that ego. I wasn't helping anybody. I wasn't doing anything. I was all about myself. And I think that's the person I look back to today that I make sure I don't ever go back to. It's not the... It's each desired piece of failure. So that's why I thank every person who says a kind thing about myself or my company. I love LifeLit Media, but I love helping people, and I love helping people who are just starting, getting to that next level of success so they don't have to go through the stupid stumbles that I made. You're going to fail. That's facing it. But ego, sometimes you need to have your ego checked, and it's good to have somebody kind of slap you back and be like, hey, reel that in a little bit, because you don't want to get burned. You can go fly close to the sun, but I'm just looking out for you. You might not want to go there. And I'm just telling you why. Shit, I've been there. Been there, done that, walked up to the claymore that said face this way. And like, oh, look on it, right? I feel that that's kind of sometimes in life you have to do that. But it's our job. If we've been ahead of the way, we got to tell you, right? I mean, what's the point of being the point man if you don't relay the word, right?
That's true. And you got to have the courage to communicate, even if it's confusing at first. You just got to go out there and get your word out, get the message out, and share those failures. Uh, not
always your successes. People don't have to look too hard to go find the successes. They really got to look. They got to look for the failures.
You know, one of the biggest things that I always told myself, and I always say this, so you can kind of think I'm crazy, but I said, you know, there is a way to make this work, and that way is most likely going to be hard. But as a great philosopher, Taleb said, you have to become anti-fragile or die. And I love that because I suck that up and that's like on my desk. Be anti-fragile or you will die. It's always going to be hard. If it was meant to be easy, everybody would be lining up to do our job.
Yep.
Everybody. But to be successful, the successful ones are quiet about it. That's why we don't post our victories. I don't post when my clients go on TV anymore. I don't post when they go on national radio. Yeah, I post pictures when I'm with Sean Hannity because that's just cool. But when my clients are on TV, I don't need to boast about it because they're on there. I used to do that. And this was 6 months ago we used to do that. We started cutting that out in the last couple months because I was like, ooh, it's kind of ego. It's like, ooh, look at me. I'm better than you. I don't want to be that way. I want to help people because I don't want to be there. And I remember, hey, this is going to be hard. But I'm anti-fragile. It's like I can't be sensitive to everything, right? It'll be like, I'll survive. You know? So well, it's pretty intense, right? Be anti-fragile or die.
I love it. It's truthful. It's honest. It's raw. It's real. Yeah. And that must be why a philosopher said it. Either that or Eric Mitchell. You're quick. You can come up with stuff on the fly there. No, I'm just kidding. Well, hey, listen.
I'm a Marine. You think I came up with that on my own? Come on.
No. Hey, listen. There's plenty of folks that are like that share some similar experiences to you and I. Right. They may have served before there was a conflict where they could go out there and earn. That GWAT or the National Defense or the Combat Action Ribbon or whatever the case may be, there may be somebody who's out there struggling with, this large sense of purpose, something they did, and they can't connect with the fact that they're struggling with something right now. And so I want to take this opportunity to, we started this podcast by saying exactly who we were talking to. Take some time, go to social media channels, go to Google and find out ways to connect with Eric, connect with myself if you're struggling with stuff like that. One, because there's plenty of folks out there who are not going to let you feel bad for yourself. They're going to relate to you where you're at, but they're going to also help you understand that tomorrow is another day. You will be able to make some changes if you decide to make those changes. And tomorrow can be that day. Heck, even right now could be that time to go out and get you some wins. But you can't be beta about the process. You can't fall into that mindset of a victim mentality. You can't think that you're owed something just because you accomplished something in the past. It's what are you going to do today? And what are you willing to give up for what you want to get done tomorrow? So anyway, with that, listen, this has been a great episode. Eric, how can people get in touch with you? How can people connect with you on, is it Facebook, the World Wide Web? How can people connect with you?
Well, you can connect with me anywhere on social media. I made it pretty easy. It's at Eric Mitchell.
Got it.
At E-R-I-C-L Mitchell. Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. I use that full name everywhere. And you can also email me at eric@lifeflipmedia.com. Please feel free to reach out to me. Schedule some time. If you want help, I take a couple of sessions a week with folks, about 25 minutes, and I let you pitch your ideas to me. I give you my feedback on what I could do. And anybody who's listening, I'm going to offer that to everybody. If you need help, 25 minutes of my time, you'll get it. You'll be able to come on and I'll give you some ideas about media, help you out with your company, marketing, or just answer your questions to tell you more about crazy crap that I've been able to do. Because if I had that when I was coming up, it would have made a big difference. It probably pushed me along maybe a couple years ahead of the game, and I could be out of the game now, but instead I'm still here. So that's what I have. So if you ever need that.
That's huge. 25 minutes to save you years. He just quantified it for you right there. Yeah. You want to know what that's worth? Yeah. That's pretty incredible. So
that's what I have. And if you're looking for Life Flip, we're on Facebook. We're proud of our over 20,000 followers. Yes.
That's awesome.
It takes a long time to get there, but look us up, lifeflipmedia.com. Visit our website, visit our Facebook, give it a like, and tell us that you heard us here. And then share the podcast, because if you're not sharing the podcast, you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not going to help you if you don't share it. That's kind of
right. There is one of those buttons. You got to like it, but then you also got to share it.
There is. You got to share it. You have to share it. Have to.
That's awesome. Well, today you heard it, Eric Mitchell, Life Flip Media, and you can listen to Knucklehead Podcast on iTunes, Podbean, your favorite podcast listening app. Check us out on YouTube if you want to look at some videos and fall asleep. We're good at doing that. So anyway, we love you. Knucklehead Podcast. Get in touch with us anytime. Take care. Pay attention next week. We got a new episode coming to you on Tuesdays, because that's when we publish new episodes. From time to time, you may get one on Friday. You just got to pay attention. We'll talk to you soon, folks. See you.